Welcome to That's Universal Podcast, a universal podcast for grown-ups from the After Dark and Connect Network. There may be a few naughty words, so it may not be suitable for kids. Enjoy the show!
Hello and welcome to this special Halloween edition, Halloween night edition of... What podcast is it? Everyone says that now because everyone's got too many podcasts. That Universal podcast, and this is to celebrate the problem. Well, it's not. It's going on a couple of nights, but you know what I mean. The ending of Halloween Horror Nights 31. Joining me tonight on this special spooky record is Simon Isbell.
Hello.
Oh, that was spooky. You nearly put the willies up me. Steve Wilson.
Evening, Craig.
Oh, get that mask off. Oh, you're scaring me. And then we've got Joe Crutwell, one of our big listeners, joining us as well. First time phoning in.
Evening, boys.
Oh, that's a spooky Cockney accent you've got going on there.
Apples and pears.
Oh! We've got Ghostzilla joining us as well.
All right, boys.
And we've got the Ghost Queen. She doesn't speak. She just sits there and watches everyone. So, how is everyone?
Yeah, good, mate.
All good, mate.
Yeah. All sound.
Absolutely fantastic.
I've give out a few apples with razor blades in today. God, going to be all over the Liverpool Echo. I haven't, just in case anyone fucking listening to this. I literally haven't. What's everyone drinking, Simon? Have you got a drink?
Yes, I'm a cheapskate, so I've got the cheap version of Moretti.
Oh, I like the Aldi one, yeah.
The Aldi special.
Special.
It was 129 instead of 179. Save yourself 50p.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but that's for the gallon. Steve, really
boring tonight. I'm on sort of can of lemonade.
Well, the last time we got together a few weeks ago, you done a load of JD, didn't you?
I was on a bit of JD, so but I will be on the soft drinks tonight. I'll be doing a P dubs.
That's right. And Joe, what are you dining on?
Sorry, Simon. I'm on the real thing, mate.
Oh, loads of money.
Between the north and south.
You got. Oh, I'm trying to think. Remember the lyrics of the Anfield rap. You got the jobs, but we got the side. Nice one, Barnsley lad. I'm drinking lemonade, and in me from New York, live from New York. I've got a cup of Yorkshire tea. From the Jimmy Fallon show. Boom.
Ooh, the worst attraction. Oh, sorry, the second worst attraction.
Oh, mate, I love that attraction.
There's someone fighting by the end of this episode, I think.
That's what I said.
So, Joe.
Hello.
What did you do? Because I can't remember if it was a weekend or a full week.
It was seven nights. Yeah, we did a week. Booked it on a bit of a whim. Booked it in June, I think it was. We'd ummed and ahed about it for a while. And then we just thought, can I swear on this podcast?
Fucking right, you can.
Right, we just thought, fuck it, let's book it. So we booked it, left the kids at home for a week. It was good. It was nice to have a week away with the missus.
It was, I mean, I know it was, you were asking me, weren't you? What weekend might you be going? When do you think you might be?
We was hoping you'd be there, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I think any other year I would have been there, just with our Eve going to university, you know. I'm going back, well, no, sorry. I went back there a couple of weeks ago to take her a suitcase because her suitcase collapsed when she was home the other weekend. So it's still like we're still new at it all.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's why I booked Paris in at the end of November, because I figured she'd be all right by then, but she should be, like. So, where did you stay?
Stayed at the Rosen, and Rosen Inn at Point Orlando.
I don't know it, but I bet you Simon Isbell knows it.
Oh, guaranteed. Yeah.
It's
just opposite the convention centre.
Yeah, bit further up.
Yeah. How did you find that? How many nights did you do of the Halloween Horror Nights?
We did 3 nights at Horror Nights. It was only open 3 nights we were there, because one of the nights it was closed for a private function.
Who was it, Simon? IBM or?
It was somewhat bright, I think we're called.
Yeah, it was like a recruitment company, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
They must be some fucking recruitment company.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, they had Islands on the Wednesday and Halloween Horror Nights. Well, Universal on Wednesday as well.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I wonder how much that cost.
It's usually Microsoft, but it weren't Microsoft this time. It was this recruitment company, which they actually were at the convention centre. We had more for that as well. It was a big convention for them.
Fantastic. So, did you just Uber and everything like that, did you have
Uber all the way. Yeah, it's just easy, mate. You know, I can have a drink.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it's a lot cheaper as well. Car hires get ridiculous.
What about like going from MCO? Did you Uber out of MCO?
Nope. We got a taxi from MCO to the hotel, and then an Uber back at the end of the week.
Yeah. When we flew into Washington, Baltimore in the summer, every airport's different in it, so we had to like go and find. I got on the Uber app, and then we had to go and find a certain door on a certain level.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to find. I think it's like that at MCO as well, isn't it?
Yeah, Vegas is the same as well.
Yeah, a little bit funny like that. We had a miserable bastard. And it was like, what the fuck have we done? Because we, you know, obviously the airport was in like the dodgy bit of town. So we're driving and driving, and we're driving through some poor areas, like, and I'm like, oh my god, we're going to get fucking bummed here. but it ended up. Do you want daylight come the next day? It was all right. It was parked.
Yeah.
Where did you boys?
At least you didn't get a car hire. If you didn't have car hire, at least you didn't get car hire and drive the wrong way and end up downtown Orlando.
Well, yeah, definitely. We did in 1993, the first time we'd ever been abroad as a family, the first time we'd ever, been abroad as a family. We'd always just done British holidays, and we got into MCO, got in the hire car, got lost. Ended up, we were, without sounding bad, but we were the whitest people you've ever seen in your life. It was the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, like 93. So we're wearing Day-Glow, Illuminous, fluorescent, fucking all that fashion that was then.
That stereotypical gaffer.
Well, the stuff you can actually get in Party City now was a costume for Halloween.
Yeah, it was absolutely. Fucking bum bags on. I was 19 with a fucking bum bag on. And we walked into this McDonald's, and it was a local McDonald's. Let's just say that. And it was like walking into the Wild West. We shit ourselves. And my sister dropped her milkshake, and we just fucking legged it. I'm just terrified, absolutely terrified. But anyway, I digress. Where did you used to stay for the Universal bit? Stay, just refresh our minds.
Royal Pacific. Beginning of our holiday in 10 September, we stayed 4 nights. So that was our Saturday through to Tuesday, I think it was, nights. And again, like Joe, it was only open for several nights we were there, so we only did 1 night. When we were there. To be fair, Tia, our stepdaughter, couldn't have done more than 1 night. She was terrified after about 3 hours and tapped out. But we can come on to that later on.
She literally shit herself?
She just tapped out. It was just too much for her.
Yeah.
I stayed till and finished the mall at 1 o'clock in the morning. They'd gone back to the hotel. yeah, she was terrified before she went, and I think it was just more the anticipation got to her, and after about 3 hours, it was just like, nah, no more, no more. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
And where were you, Simon?
I was at the Hilton Grand Vacation Suites for the first week, so I was more near SeaWorld, and then I stayed at Aventura for the last 10 days.
Oh, fabulous.
Two Queen Deluxe.
Oh.
Volcano view-ish. Just see the, well, you could see the volcano, but you also could see all of Disney.
Yeah.
The castle, I could see Space Mountain.
Nice.
Yeah, I could see all of Disney from the hotel room.
They've put that hotel there on purpose, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, because I sat there one night when we didn't go out and I just watched the magic fireworks.
Fantastic. Yeah, not half. So, Joe, I mean, I know on the run-up to it, you were talking of doing what I was planning to do, which was basically not get tickets for Universal. But you did in the end, didn't you?
We got the Scream early ones, so we could get into Universal from 3 o'clock.
Oh, right, so you didn't buy the daytime tickets?
Nah, mate, it was working out about £300 each, so it was just like, nah, it was $25 each a day to do the Scream early.
Yeah.
So we was just like, fuck it, let's just do that. And it was a lot cheaper. We did other things in the daytime as well. We went kayaking.
Oh,
mate. Mate, it was beautiful. If you ever get a chance, go down to the paddling centre in Shingle Creek. It's beautiful. Stunning.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, me and Stuart went alligator hunting once. But the problem for me is, as I'm getting a bit older, like I'm getting on a bit now. We're not as old as Steve, obviously, but we're not far behind. I can't, so you're flying in. For me, I'll fly in on a Thursday, fly out on a Monday.
Yeah.
And, you've got the flight, then you've got that jet lag morning where you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
And then you're trying to get into the parks for early park admission.
Yeah.
And then, I'll have a few pints in the afternoon. Then you try and have a little bobos, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And then we were going in for Stay and Scream. I've never closed out Halloween Horror Night yet. I normally tap out at about 10 o'clock.
Yeah, well, I think our latest one was about 1:30.
Oh, that's good going, that.
Yeah, we were fucked by the end of it.
Yeah.
Because we bought the after 11 p.m. express passes.
Oh, right, okay.
Only $70 each. So we went round, we smashed out a load of the houses after 11. And that was worth it, though, well worth it.
Was that $70 a night?
Yeah, each. So it was $140, and you get an express after 11.
Well, never heard of them before. It's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
It used to be after 10 o'clock, but obviously, the Halloween Horror Night stayed open until 2 every morning, every night. They moved it to 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's a common thing. It's been going around since 2015. Wow. It was just not really advertised very much. It's literally one of those, if you're in the park, they'll say to you, oh, sorry, you go up to them and say, oh, is the express passes available? Sorry, we've sold out for today, but come back at 11. We might be able to sell you 11 o'clock one. Or they might start selling them there.
That's exactly how I found out.
Yeah. They don't advertise it. It's not an advertised thing because it's not available every night. It's only available on select nights, on select times, depending on how busy the park is. If the park's absolutely rammed, they usually sell it because they don't get money out of it. Yeah. But if it's a little bit quieter, usually that one it's not available at night. It's worth something to look into for next year if anyone goes.
Yeah,
just ask a team member. Are they doing a late express passes? I know they also used to do the late RIP tours. So you used to be able to do 5 houses guided, but I didn't see that this year.
I saw one.
All right.
Yeah, we was in the queue for Spirits of the Coven, and one came through about midnight.
Yeah. No, that could be a normal one, but sometimes you should sell like a half RIP tour, so you could just get 5 houses done by paying, I think it was like $125 or $130.
That's a cracking value, that, though, isn't it? I mean, for both of them. I mean, but that's where I was coming from with my idea was saving the money that you saved for not going to parks. you can have a leisurely day. I don't know why my calendar is just loaded up on fucking Teams, but there you go. You can have a leisurely day doing whatever, you know, kayaking or anything like that, and then you can go and have a night, something nice to eat, and then just stroll in about 9 o'clock, as opposed to what I was doing, which was being in the parks all day, going home, shower, shit and a shave, throwing something down your throat, some food at a quick service, and then doing Stay and Scream. And like, you get 5 hours is done when you do Stay and Scream, and it's still daylight.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like I say, I'm dead on my feet by 10 o'clock. Yeah. Really. It was like the night we went up on, last time I went, and Simon was there as well, we went up to the rooftop bar. I don't know if you were with us that night, Simon, but we went up there, and
it was too
loud, and we were like just wanting to go to bed.
We were like 60-year-old men. We got up there, this music's too loud, we need to go back downstairs.
yeah and just have a quiet pint, do you know what I mean? But I think if I do go back next year, I mean, it's going to have to take something special. We'll get onto the houses and that now, like, but from what I've heard from other podcasts, wink, wink, Simon, this year isn't the best.
We definitely didn't hold back on that one.
No, I was listening to that at 4 o'clock in the morning, basically. It must have been after it had gone live by minutes, but I just think that it's a better way to do it. It'll take something special for me to go back next year. But if I do, I'll be doing it different. I'll absolutely be doing it different. I didn't want to do like all the houses, but has everyone like got maybe a top three?
Oh yeah.
We'll start with your worst house. We won't do all the ones in the middle. But what was everyone's worst house? One and done or just shite?
You want me to go first?
Go on then.
I only got to do them once. I was there one night and I got to do every house once. So I may not have got the best run through on each one. But the one I was looking forward to the most, and I found the biggest disappointment, was Bugs. It just didn't... It started off really well. I thought you went in there. I thought the setting was excellent, this sort of 1950s house of the future. But beyond that, I just thought it was tame, poor, and just didn't do it for me. And that was one I was really looking forward to. I know everyone was like getting quite terrified of maybe doing this Bugs house, and everyone's scared of spiders and cockroaches, but it was just a damn squib to me in that one. See what the guys think.
I'm
in agreement there. I think Bugs was the worst one. People were raving about it online, saying how terrifying it was going to be, and it was just a nothing house.
Were
the big giant bugs in there, where was it just like people with a cockroach head on?
Cockroach or bits of string hanging down, and video screens with cockroaches on some of them. But
well, I got two runs through Bugs, and I really got hit with a lot of them. I got hit with the giant fly before I think it got taken away. I got hit by the giant grub, which if you watch the podcast, giant grub. It just made me laugh. It was the comedy house for me, and that's what made it funny. And I got every single skirt. Well, skirt, I'm doing air quotes, because there wasn't that many skirts in this event, across the whole event for me.
Yeah.
But the Bugs house, I enjoyed it because it gave me slot of cinema vibes. And I think if you remember, Craig, that was one of my favourite ones from 28.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like that again. So I was loving it. It was comedic, and I can see why people were sort of terrified, because if you've got a phobia of bugs or spiders, your mind's already racing before you got in there. And it's just there's just bugs everywhere. The cockroach room, I can see people freaking out if you're scared of cockroaches, but a cockroach, it's a big beetle.
Oh, it's a fucking cockroach. I'd be hysterical, to be fair. You've seen me running through walls. What was your worst then? Simon?
Mine was Spirit of the Coven, because I just did not understand what the hell was going on. I understand it was supposed to be based on a speakeasy, but the witches were just normal people with a crooked nose, and that's not what I envisioned when it's saying Spirits of the Coven. The Coven to me is like massive hysteria with witches, and it just fell flat. When you see a witch making out with a dead guy, it just didn't work, so it just kind of just sunk to the bottom straight away as soon as I went through it.
To be fair, that's my mother-in-law and father-in-law across the road. Every night of the week. Okay then, well, let's do the top threes then. We'll go with in age order again, I think. Was that right? Did it get the age order right?
Are you on youngest or oldest first?
We go with the oldest. Go ahead.
Cheers, Craig, yeah. My top three, really, just three. I enjoyed more. I mean, I think I agree with Simon. I've only been three times. It was the worst year I've been, I thought. But I'm not saying it was bad. It just wasn't as good as the last 2 years I've been. But three of them, to me, stood out. And that was Halloween, I thought was done really well this time. Got some good scares in there. Especially the one with the mirror, where you see Michael Myers coming towards you and he's actually on the corner behind you and jumps out. That was an excellent scare. So that was a great house. That was the first one we did. I also really enjoyed Dead Man's Pier or Dead Man's Wharf. I can't remember now.
Dead Man's Pier.
Pier, yeah. That one I thought was...
Winter's Waking.
Yes. Right. Which is so well themed. And that was one of the last ones I did quite late, about 12:30. And that was just a great house. You know, just the detail in the house was just incredible. And then another one again, I think it was Chupacabra. I really enjoyed that one. I think it was like sort of Mexican, South American type village. Again, just a well themed house with, you know, again, I think, was that when I had the puppets in? Maybe was it the ones with, like, the old werewolf puppets or whatever they were that jumped out later in that house? I think I've got a few of those.
They used the American werewolf puppets and turned them into the chupacabras.
They're
like goat fox mix things, and they're quite terrifying actually when they came up close. But
yeah, and there was two or three of us towards the end. And again, anything different like that, I like to see, you know, that sort of side, rather than just a person jump out on you. Just when you get something different with a big puppet that comes out, I think it's, you know, fantastic. And you can appreciate, I think, the effort that goes in behind the scenes. I think I've seen before, a couple of years ago, there was lions that jumped out in the Roman gladiator one and things, and very similar sort of thing. And
that worked for about the first 2 weeks, and then it just went on again. And luckily, I managed to catch that just before it decided to break.
Yeah, same here. But yeah, so to me,
it's the same principle. It was hidden.
Yeah, yeah. So to me, that was my favourite three of the night that I did it. There's some, you know, other good ones in between, but those are the ones that to me really, really sort of stood out on the night.
Yeah. I mean, what about you then, Joe?
Well, number three, probably Dead Man's Pier, just because of the aesthetics of it. It was beautiful. I mean, it wasn't scary at all, but it was a lovely looking house. You know, the girl playing the violin on the top of the ship was I don't know if you've seen it, Craig?
No, I haven't watched it.
Mate, check it out on YouTube. It was perfect.
She's stunning, was she?
No, not so much that, but it was just everything around it. It was like there was a whole ship inside a house.
Go on, what was your number two then?
Number two, Monsters. Just because it was Monsters. It was very mummy heavy, though. There was a lot of the mummy in it. I got to have a little dance with the wolf man at the end of it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Number one, Halloween. By a long way as well. Michael Myers was just, it was amazing.
I mean, he's one of my top three serial killers. He's just behind Fred West and... Ocean Ripper. But when I was growing up, it was always Michael Myers. We used to get that out the video shop all the time, one and two. I've just watched the last two Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends.
What did you think?
Well, they were Halloween films. I love the fact that they went from Halloween 1 into this new franchise. I can't, without spoiling it, I can't see how we can come back.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
I hope it's done, basically. The only way that he can go is maybe as a little boy, or so. I don't know how they could revisit it now.
Or if they do it like a different universe, like how Marvel do it.
Yeah, you know, which they've basically done with this. They've done away with all the other silly ones where he was like, she was his sister and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, that was Rob Zombie, wasn't it?
Yeah, this literally takes over from number one, and I enjoyed them. They are what they are.
Yeah.
What about? So that was your number one. How many times through did you get to?
Three.
And did you get good scares? Because like on Simon's show the other day, listening to that, you can literally walk through a house sometimes, and it's like you miss every scare, or there's big holes where somebody should be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had that with Spirits of the Coven. We went through it twice. The first time we could see every single scare on the people in front of us, so it just lost all the scare factor. And then the second time we went through it, it was a cast change. So there was so there was no one in there.
That's our last.
Yeah.
They must be able to do a cast change pretty quick.
Yeah, you would have thought so.
You know, so just leave, stop everyone coming through for about like 5 minutes or something. I don't know. I mean, it might be half an hour jobby, I don't know. What was yours, Simon? What was your three then?
My number three was Dead Man's Pier. Just because like Joe and Steve said, it was beautiful. The house was wonderfully themed.
Yeah, yeah.
You could see, he was like you walking into a seaside village.
Yeah.
The sets were fantastic, but to me, it wasn't that scary. But that's me across the whole event. There wasn't that much scary in it at all. But that's why it got number three, because it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Number two for me was Descendants of Destruction, for a completely other reason than the house. It was, you'll probably listen to it on the podcast. I met up with a few friends who were over there from another podcast in America.
Yeah.
And we had a few beers and we had a laugh. And five of us went through this house and we just had a complete laugh in the line. A few beers before, a couple of beers after, and that was it. That was all we did on that night, was drink and go through one house. And it just made that house even more special.
Yeah, there is something special going through with a gang of people.
But the house was pretty good, because you were going through. It was a bit like Seeds of Extinction, the one that you went through, you know, with the plants.
Yeah.
This is where you're going underground, and you started off with solar power, then it went to start going to flashlights, and then eventually, because there was no power, because you were going further and further underground, it was bioluminescent. So it was black light. So there was a lot of painted black light on the face, and the strobe came on with a little bit of a black light, and everything lit up. And if you caught it at the right time, you got the scars in your face. The flash just hit the person at the right time, and we were just walking through, enjoying it and having a laugh. So that's why I got number two.
Yeah.
And my number one, doesn't take a genius, if you know me, it was Universal Monsters, Legends Collide, because I'm just a massive Universal Monsters fan. And I don't know what Joe's saying, it was very mummy heavy. It was then, and then a week later, it did seem to change a little bit. It did get quite a bot. I got, first time I went through, I only got the mummy and probably one Wolfman and two, one Dracula. And then the second week, I got three Dracula, two Wolfman, and only a couple of mummies. So they were mixing it up, and the actors were in different positions. So you had the mummy that was in that position before, was then the Dracula. Or the Wolfman, so they actually changed positions as well, which makes it quite a bit. And obviously, he had a different winner at the end.
Yeah.
Different run, I had the mummy twice and the Wolfman. I didn't get Dracula, which I'm glad of.
But that's good in respect that it makes like re-rideability, basically, isn't it? Yeah. If they're swapping stuff out.
when you first went through it, a lot of it was the mummy, because it was based in Egypt, and you had all the hieroglyphics up there, and you had the Sphinx, not Sphinx, the guards, we call the big guy, the big coloured blokes who always guard it with, I don't know, fox things. But it was very, very Egyptian heavy, so the mummy was very prominent, and then they started to change it at the back end, which was worked out really well. Yeah. That's why you need to. I know if a lot of people only go once, like Steve said, you only went that one night.
Yeah.
It does. If you want to get the full effect of the event, you do need to do it and repeat the houses just to get. Because, like you said, if you have one bad run in one house, the next night you can get a fantastic run through it.
Yeah, I think they.
And that's the only problem with the event.
They tweak it as the event goes on as well, don't they?
Yeah.
That's what my main critique with the event is as well. Now it's got that big, and the scores are set at certain times. If you have a bad run, it ruins that house, and that means you've got to try and do it again. But if you're only going there for one night, it's just ruining that house.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing that they can do it that way, but it's also a bad thing for the people who want to try and experience it all, but you're not going to get it all.
Yes, it's that time again. It's Patreon time. Now, if you don't know what Patreon is, it's a website where you can support content creators and in return get some benefits. For example, if you become a Patreon of ours, you get early release episodes of all our shows, plus exclusive content you can't hear anywhere else. So, that's what we do, and we'd love your support, but these are the people that keep this show happening. And if you become a Patreon, you too can be in this roll call. Here we go. We've got Stephen. We've got Jane and Steve. We've got Todd. We've got Rob. We've got Breaking Dad. David Elliott. Tom. Dave Pelletot. I hope I've said that right, Dave. I apologise if I haven't. Kevin. Dan. Nikki. James Dowling. Crystal Dungeon. Sandy, Paul Kane, Daniel Livingston, Mel Swanick, Kate, Chris, Karen, Lee, Haley, Joseph, and Ryan. Thank you so much for supporting us. We really appreciate it, and hopefully that Discord channel will be set up soon. I've got it ready to go. I've just got to figure out how to use it, but we'll get there. But if you would also like to support us, then please visit patreon.com/thatpodcast. And if you can't remember the address, there's a handy link in the show notes below. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your continued support.
You've only got one head, haven't you? Basically, you know, so as you're walking through the house for the first time, a lot of the time, like you say, the scenery is so mind-blowing.
Yeah,
you're looking at stuff and you miss scares, or you just might miss, you know, you're just looking there when you should be looking there. So you do need to try and get through them as many times as you can. I remember the year, one of the years I went with Nick, and we had the Sword House. Was it 27? 28?
Maybe 28, that one, I think.
And I think he went through it once, and he didn't want to go through it again because he didn't like it. And I think you've just got to give them a chance as well, because you've paid all that money to go over for the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, or in my case specifically, just like a few days, and you're never going to see it again. I mean, you will, because they'll do another Sword House in about 4 years or something. But you know what I mean? I mean, I remember being gutted that when American Werewolf in London come back, because I seen it the first time and it was unbelievable. When I seen it the second time, it was a waste of an house, but because I'd already seen it.
I didn't get to see the original American Werewolf in London, and then when it was at 25, it was great for me to actually go through, because I wanted to go through it before. But that's the thing with Halloween Horror Nights. They don't like to repeat houses, and that is also a good thing, and it's also a bad thing, because if you want to actually experience the house and you can't make it for that year, you're stuck.
you can't experience it. And this is the advocate that we keep saying about Universal, why don't they record these houses and stick them up on Peacock? They've got their own stream service now. You know what I mean? Every house.
Why don't they bring back two legacy houses every year or something? You know, eight new houses and two legacy from years gone past, which I only started going 4 years ago, so I've not seen The Shining, Werewolf, all these things I'd love to see. And I'd love to see them bring members in back and just have like 2 hours there, you know, one, you know, every year. We're bringing these two back, classic houses, and eight brand new houses, and, you know, members in that, you know. And they'll have to do it, but it would be good for us as fans,
I don't know what Universal do look like. They're going through a transition phase at the moment with creative and people who are working behind the scenes. So that might be an idea that they're floating around. Because a lot of them houses did look very similar to older houses that I've had in the past.
Yeah.
So they might be starting to go down that route because, obviously, one, it saves costs. Because if you've got to repeat a house, it doesn't cost as much because you've already got all the stuff anyway. Because we all know Universal got massive warehouse aside. Of New York, somewhere with all these house sets in it, haven't we? So.
You definitely, when you go multiple years, you definitely see where stuff's being reused. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, why wouldn't he? Do you know what I mean? Was there any stenches? You know, like you'll have. Was there certain houses that had the stench?
Yeah, they do have the scent pods. They weren't as prevalent as they usually are.
Yeah, I didn't notice any.
Adam, I noticed that's a few. There weren't many. Yeah. They weren't as prevalent as before because, like, obviously they made mistakes with Exorcist and a few others in the past. But there were a few scent pods out there, but not as many as they usually are. I think the Halloween house did have an outdoor smell when you went into the outdoor bit. You could smell fresh. I smelled fresh earth. That's why it made it feel like it was outside. But something so subtle like that, that makes you feel like, oh, wait a second, I just stepped outside even though you haven't. Mm. The scent pods do work, but then they can overuse them. But I noticed a few, but not many.
What about the fog? Was the famous fog there?
My throat was killing me.
Yeah.
I thought I'd die by the end of that. My throat was killing me. Every night, there was a lot of fog. Especially in the scare zones, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, if you could get through a scare zone, yeah.
Did anyone have a favourite scare zone? And I know you were quite scathing on your show about the scare zones. And I absolutely get where you're coming from.
I thought they were poor this year, the scare zones. Really did.
They weren't scare zones. That's was my drawback of it. They just weren't scare zones at all.
Yeah.
They were just places from A to B because you couldn't see the sets very well unless you went there like early or you stayed very late. And when you did get in there, the scare actors couldn't do the job because it was just too busy.
Yeah. So I don't know. But the weakest one for me was the one near the Barnstone Taxula. That area there was just... So in the past, I remember seeing Chucky and things there and it was pretty good. But this year, I just thought it was not a lot going on in that area. Near the Bourne, the old Terminator building, that part of Universal.
Oh, the graveyard.
Yeah, didn't think that was. I just, yeah. You say graveyard. I mean, was that horror for me? I didn't even remember it. What it was. That for me was the worst one. The sweet thing was okay, but again, you know, it was just there. It wasn't really doing it for me this year. The scare zones as they have in previous years.
Well, like you, George, what do you think about the scare zones?
Yeah, well, I'm the opposite of Steve. The only one I actually thought was any good was the cemetery one.
Right.
Weird, isn't it? Different opinions. Yeah. Like.
It just seemed to be the only scare zone that wasn't ram-packed with people.
Yeah.
It's very dark in that scare zone as well, though.
It was, but I loved the way that when you walk in, all of a sudden you could hear the thunder and the lightning, and it felt like a cemetery, you know,
used to be one of my favourite scare zones because you used to be able to sit on the benches and watch. You couldn't sit on the benches.
People watch.
Because the set pieces were in front of the benches.
Yeah.
If you wanted to look at a big black wall, that's all you could do this time.
But do you think that's something, so someone in planning has dropped a bollock there?
They're definitely, they're, no, they've done it on purpose. They don't want people hanging around.
Yeah.
they want people moving all the time, because the more you move, the more walking you do, the more hungry you get, the more thirsty you get.
Yeah.
Well, there is that, yeah. I mean, okay then, so jumping onto food, who ate what? Come on. Yeah, Joe, what did you have any Halloween Horror Night food?
Well, pizza fries, which is standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all right. They were pretty good. And we tried the macaroni cheese with the pork skewer.
It was
decent, but it was a tiny little portion. It was like a kid's, it was like a baby meal.
Yeah. Well, I had the pork skewer first time, and you had the burnt ends.
What did you think of it?
The first week we got it, it's quite a large bowl. It was about probably the size of, obviously this is a podcast, you can't see it, but the guys see it was about the size of my head. But yeah. Then it was about when you turned up, it was probably
it was like the palm of my hand
into a smaller bowl. Yeah, but it was nice. It was I don't like macaroni. I've never really had macaroni and cheese in America. I know, been going since 2008, but I've never been a fan of macaroni and cheese, and I actually enjoyed that one. Yeah. It's quite tasty.
Yeah, we liked it.
What was in it to make it unique? Like,
I think it was probably the blend of cheeses that they use, because
also
when you hear about macaroni and cheese, you think pasta, cheese. They must use three or four different cheeses or something, or they just use whatever generic cheese sauce they have. I don't know.
They had a seasoning. There was a seasoning on it as well, wasn't there?
Man, cheese.
Yeah, well, there's quite a bit on the burnt ends. They were quite barbecue-y and quite a bit spicy, actually. But the pork skewer, I had that, and there was a lot of flavour in the fat. The meat was a bit tough, but the fat was quite tasty. I think it was pork belly, was it? I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did anyone have the twisted taters?
No, because the queue was about 75 miles long.
Yeah.
Jane and Tia, thank God, twisted tater. And she said it was massive queue. It was that area getting the animal actors. Huge queues to get it.
Yeah.
So badly organised. And to be honest, she said it just wasn't. It wasn't great this year. It was just the seasoning. A lack of seasoning on it. So it was just like eating everybody, you know, a plain crisp basically. Wasn't very impressed. So, but I didn't. I don't even remember eating that night at all. I mean, I've had some before, but I've had the pizza fries before and was massively underwhelmed by them. I've had proper pizza fries back in Scarborough. I live in a pub, and it's, you know, once you've had them and you go there, it's wasn't very, very happy with the stingy portion and that there. So now I think I maybe ate it before I went in or something and didn't bomb this time. But tried one of these beers they were selling this time. These sour beers, $10-$12 can.
Yeah, the lacto cooler.
That was nice. That was good.
Lacto cooler. Joe bought me one, and he did not like it.
Oh, I love it. I love my fruit sour beers, so it was right up my alley.
I didn't even know fruit sour beers were a thing.
Oh, yeah. Sourer the better.
Oh. It was like putting
Harry Bought Fantastics in your mouth, liquidified.
Yeah, with alcohol, yeah.
Yeah.
So, about 6% as well, I think they were.
Not as good as the Neo Rainbow IPA from Mardi Gras. That was fantastic, and that was 10%, and that was a gorgeous beer. That's
a nice beer. Yeah.
As well, it was cheap.
So, where did you meet when you got to? Because that's a lovely experience. That when you get to meet people who you know and have a little chin wag.
It was outside the Scare Actor dining, wasn't it, Simon?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we tried to keep it quiet. We knew that you were doing Scare Actor dining, but you didn't know that me and Phil were doing it as well.
Yeah.
So
I tried to hide in the Stay and Scream area, which I'm not being funny. You can't hide because it was packed. It would have been easier to hide I tried to hide, and when you started queuing up, I'm trying to turn my back so you couldn't see me. And I just like, "Is there?" And I went, "We'll see you in a minute." And then, we met up after the Scare Actor dining, had a good chat, a couple of drinks, but we did a house, didn't we? What did we do?
Chupacabra.
Yeah, because that was the shortest queue, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, all right. What did you all think of the ones who did it, the scare actor dying, and I've always wanted to do it, but what puts me off is you've paid to go to a premium event, and then you're paying to go into a premium event within a premium event.
Well, it was in between starting at five, Scream Actor Dying started just after.
Oh, right, okay.
Event, so you didn't really affect your event that much. But my personal thing, it wasn't worth the money this year. For me doing it before, in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt.
I agree, mate. I mean, it was $100 for the two of us.
Yeah.
And it was just canteen food, really. Only three scare actors walking around. You could walk up and meet Michael Myers and the Mummy. But, yeah, it was pretty underwhelming, to be honest.
So it was three scare actors just going... And then them two as well. So was it five?
five, including the Mummy and Michael Myers, but they were in their own little section. You had to go to them.
Oh, so that was like for the stage photograph, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, for me, right, you can meet characters in Disney all day long, and Universal. They do it. They do have characters, as you know, but they don't seem to have it for Halloween Horror Nights. Now, for me, I'd quite happily pay for a photograph.
Yeah, same.
With all the actors, but have them in their own enclosed areas where only people who can pay or have paid can go and pose for a photograph. And that'll take away all the stress, all the hassle, all the queues, everything like that. You could even have a fucking time slot, couldn't you? Let's be honest. You know, 10 actors, and you meet them over the course of your night, something like that. I'd do that all day long.
Yeah, and I think that'd stop people taking selfies in the scare zones as well with the actors. Mm. If they know they've got an opportunity to go and get a decent selfie with them.
Yeah, definitely.
That would help with the clogging up of the scare zones, because I think that was one of the main reasons the scare zones were so packed, is the amount of people just stopping scare actors.
Yeah.
You're just taking away from the event. People want to get scared, but how can you get scared if the scare actor's walking 2 feet, taking a selfie, walking another 4 feet, taking another selfie? It's like, let the scare actor do the job. You know what I mean?
Was it 29 where the on the way in where Shrek is, that scare zone was like the greatest hits of all the other scare zones?
I think they did it in 27 as well, because you had the Grady twins and some people from the Purge, all in that area, and they just walked around their little they had like stanchions of up saying, oh, this is the Purge, Shining, Avatar. As in what houses and a couple of scares, and we had the scare actors just wandering around that area, and they were posing for and that worked great. But then that event, because the other zones, people weren't getting pictures, or they were trying to, and the scare actors were just ignoring them and walking away.
Yeah.
But now it's got to the point where the scare actors can get away from it, and it's just like scare actors stops, take a selfie, right, try and scare someone, or can I have a picture? And it's just takes away from the event, unfortunately, but that's the nature of the beast that is Halloween Horror Nights now, I think.
I think they'll end up killing the friggin' scare zones off, to be honest.
I've said for years, the scare zones have not been scare zones probably since, I'd say, 22, when the whole event was Walking Dead. The whole nowhere was safe, everywhere was Walking Dead. Yeah. I don't think it's ever been right since then. But I never did 23 and 24. 25 was a mixture of old events mixed together.
And I think that one, 25, did that have Herschel's Barn at Barney? The Walking Dead. I think me and Stuart did 22. That was my first one when I was 40, I think. And I liked it as The Walking Dead all the way round.
Yeah, well, it was literally, there was nowhere to be. That was one of my favourite. I call it scares on, but what it was, nowhere was safe, and literally nowhere was. The only place you were safe was actually in the toilets, Because even coming out of the toilets, you weren't safe. Because what a scare actor followed Julie coming out of Hollywood came out where Today Cafe is now, the toilet's just behind it. He followed her. She went into the toilet, followed, and he stood there waiting.
That was Jimmy Savile.
And it's quite a funny actually. I just watched it. Then if he had a decent camera, then I would have been able to record it. But then, what, 10 years ago? Not like they are now, are they? So, but no, Justin said it just seems to have gone very loud with these sets.
Yeah.
Great costuming, but no scares. Unfortunately. I'm very loud. That's what one of my biggest complaints of this year was, the scare zones were very, very loud.
Yeah.
I mean, when I went in 2019, it was like that. It was a very loud event, a very intense event, and I can see how people do get overwhelmed by it in a short period of time, because oh my god, it just didn't let up. The nighttime spectacular show in 2019, everyone raved about it. I was like, meh, it was all right. It's like a shit Fantasmic, to be honest, but.
This year again, it wasn't. I mean, it's not working now, is it? Because the hurricane. But we saw it. It was all right. Yeah.
I said before. Okay. It's a good first half.
Yeah.
It was very Halloween-esque.
Yes.
And then for some reason, in the middle of it, just turned into the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I didn't really get it.
I think that's the demographic they're going for, though, because when they. As soon as, like, I don't know if you mentioned it on the podcast before, is when Universal tweet a house or something like that, it gets a few, like 30,000-40,000 retweets and likes. The Weeknd did his house and he got 1.2 million in 3 hours.
Yeah.
It just blew up across the thing. And when you look at the people who are retweeting it and liking it, and think, you think, yeah, that demographic is what they've gone for, and that demographic turned up.
I'll show my age, Craig. I'd never heard of him before that.
I'll be honest.
beyond all that now, mate. Not a clue.
So. I knew this, so I didn't know it was The Weeknd. But then when you hear the song, you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think that's what a lot of people, they didn't know who The Weeknd was, but you've obviously heard his music. If you had the radio on at any point, his songs have come on. Especially Blinding Lights. I think it was
constantly
on from 2010, I think. It feels like, but yeah, it's just unfortunate. That's the demographic they've gone for, and we're just the old guys now, I think.
Yeah. I didn't bother with the show. Like, I don't know if you guys watched the show at all. We didn't bother with that. Like, it's not something I'm sure interesting, really.
Nah, not our thing.
Nah. So I think we saw one a couple of years ago. I wasn't impressed, so I didn't bother going back.
I didn't even know what the show was this year, I'll be honest with you.
Same thing.
It was people dancing and shit.
Yeah.
It was the same as last year. It was Nightmare Fuel, but this year they had the Brits, who were supposed to have been in it last year, actually did the show this year. It's a British group, these Nightmare Fuel people.
Right.
I don't see the point in it. I mean, for me, the best years that there were was the first times I went, and it was the Rocky Horror Show, and it was Bill and Ted's. You know, it was the Rocky Horror Show was fucking brilliant in Beetlejuice's old palace, you know. And then obviously everyone goes
Graveyard with you.
Yeah. So missed. But you know, Bill and Ted's as well. I didn't get half of the fucking cultural references in it because it's very American heavy. But that was a brilliant show. You know, it had something for everyone. Naked, half-naked women.
27 will always have... was it Halloween on? It's 27?
I think so, yeah.
That'll always be in history. Spotting you from 3 rows back.
Well, and it's basically... that area, that thing is captured in it. Because we recorded it live on that night. It's on the Ego feed somewhere.
Yeah, so if you ever go back and listen to it, which you should do, because it's actually... It is... You can listen to it rather than just watch it. You can hear at the end it kind of cuts off and that's me interrupting them.
Yeah. Which is just weird. It just burns my head out. That type of stuff. Getting spotted in theme parks and stuff. I mean, I got spotted in the basement of Primark, didn't I?
I had it in February. It was actually Joe was shouting me over from Fast and Furious.
Oh.
It was just like, Simon! I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. It's weird. It's lovely, like, but when you're tying a jacket on and there's a lad standing behind the woman who's helping me, and then he goes, "Are you Craig?" And you're like, "Oh my God, I'm getting shot at you." But I mean, getting back to the event or to the week, Joe, was there me fucking lights on me things gone fucking funny. Was there any places you're at that particularly stand out on property and off property?
Mate, we didn't eat on property once, other than pizza fries and the pork belly. We ate on International Drive every day.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we was in Hooters pretty much every day. Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut. Chili's. Definitely noticed the price increase out there.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't think it's as expensive as over here, but it's catching up.
Yeah. It's the dollar rate, isn't it? Which,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to go Olive Garden, used to go years ago, and you think it was great value and great price, but you go now and you say, that wasn't that cheap meal nowadays.
Yeah, no, it's definitely got more expensive. I mean, there's still some deals to be had. Like, we went to Chili's and it was 2-for-1 beers.
Oh.
Three courses for like $15, so you know you can get good deals, but yeah. It's catching up.
Yeah, I mean, when we're in the Hard Rock when we go next summer, and then we're in Animal Kingdom Lodge, I'm definitely going to be pushing because you can go out across the road and is it a TGI or no? It's told us, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, there's a Miller's Ale House. There's also
a Miller's Ale House, yeah.
Good prices on them. Yeah.
The hazy IPA, you'll like that one.
Oh. People have just got to start boxing clever now because, yeah. You know, when you're paying $10 a pint, and I will and I do. It adds up now. It really is starting, and it won't be long before it's $12 a pint.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hit that now. I got that night. I was saying we had a few drinks. I bought a rounding, which was 3 Duftoberfest and 2 regular Dufts. I didn't see a change out of $70.
Jesus.
And they still expect a tip on top of that.
Yeah. But I paid by card, so they didn't get a tip because they never took the tip. I wrote the tip down on the receipt and never took it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're so switched. Go on.
I never had. I didn't carry that much cash this year. I kept the cash for the tips and sat in the hotel rooms and for Uber drivers. When it came to Universal, I mainly just wrote it down.
Yeah.
They never took the tips. Unfortunately.
No one's ever bettered us like bunking out and not paying. Of the NBC bar and grill.
No, I cleared that one.
Oh, did you pay that debt off for us?
It was you paid the sum like I think Nick gave you, you know, a few you gathered a bit up.
Oh no, that's at the meetup. No, this is when I was with the family. It was all the brother in laws and we're sitting on the bar and the lad comes and puts, you know, like they do the first round in a little glass in front of you type of thing. And we got another round, and we got another round. And they weren't taking the receipt out and replacing it with a new receipt. It was just leaving the same receipt in. And then we literally just settled that first receipt. We'd all had about fucking 4 pints each. And just fucking legged it. Like Scousers on tour, just legged it. It was boss. And then when we went back there for the meetup, I had to wear the disguise. That's why I had the false nose and muzzy and glasses on.
Good place, that. We went there for the first time.
Also, it's a banging yeah, bar.
Had a great meal in there as well. It was very good. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and they've got so many beers on tap. There's one in there that I like drinking. It's Swamp Ale. Yeah, he's amazing, Simon. He always remembers it. But that's a 10%.
Yeah, 10%. I had one of them, and I didn't feel that good walking home.
Yeah, I had three of them and some whiskey shots. Yeah. That was the.
I don't know what I had before. I had a couple before that, and then you said, "Oh, that's that swamp thing." I went, "Oh, right, go on, I'll have one of them," and then that's why I ended up settling the bill. I think it was $160 I settled.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I mean, the last time I met, we all met the podcast gang in London, in Tottenham Court Road. We were going to walk down. Well, so Luke Rowe was there. And he's a fanny, right? He's just got married. Congratulations, Luke. But he couldn't drink the beers. So he comes back with gin and tonics for everyone. So this is about four beers in then. So now we're all drinking gin and tonics. And we get down to about the third pub down. And me being a fucking dipstick, I'm like, double gin and tonics for all. It's like £80 round. And I ended up spending that day about £270 on gin and tonics. Fucking hammered getting back on the train.
£270 you just wasted. Cause I wouldn't, if anyone put a gin and tonic in front of me, I wouldn't even drink it. I can't stand
Well, I can't really. I mean, I'll drink fucking dog shit if it's got fucking an alcohol content in it.
No, I can't. Honestly, I can't. I'll throw it up. I just cannot stomach gin and tonic. I tried gin on its own. I can just about manage it. Tonic, no. It's the tonic water. It just, no.
Just have gin and lemonade then.
I can't, no, because I don't like the gin.
Oh.
So.
Just have vodka.
I'll just stick to a Jack Daniels and whiskies. I'll be happy with them.
Yeah. I mean, what else? Have you got anything else, Joe, from your week?
Not really, mate. No, to be honest, Horror Nights, bit of a damp squib, all in all.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you two, actually, because you went regular. When we went, Dead Man's Pier and Duke Cow both went down early in the night. Does that happen regular? Where houses, do they go down regular, and why do they go down? Because we were in the queue for about half an hour, end up getting fast passes to go back in a later time, but why does a house go down? What's the reason for that when that happens?
Usually, if it's two houses that are next to each other, like Chupacabra and Dead Man's Wharf are right next to each other, it's possibly an electrical fault. Right. So the house, it loses power. Craig's an advocate for that when he was at the first night, was it? The whole back end towards the tents went down.
Right.
It's because they had their own power. They're like Disney, they've got the bit of their own power grid. If something goes down, they can only bits go down rather than all of it.
Yeah.
But it also could be what I think Disney call it protein spills.
Also,
I did notice quite a few drunk people with quite a lot this time. You maybe see one in the whole trip. I saw at least four or five this time. And it's getting more regular, so the drunk tents would definitely be used quite more, and it could even be an actor's been because that does happen quite regularly if you go onto Twitter.
I've been in one of the houses, can't remember, it might have been the Scream House maybe, and the lads in front had their jumpers wrapped around the neck, and they were hitting scare actors with the sleeves of their jumpers. You know, as they were coming at them, they were like whipping them. So it does go on,
It worked okay for us because we got given passes to go back to the houses later, and by that time Jane and Tia had gone home, so I was left with three fast passes for myself to finish the night off, which helped me get it over and done by 1 o'clock. Otherwise, I'd been there till 2 a.m.
So was that a Universal Express pass, or was it just like
any house? Yeah, it was just everyone walked off, and Yeah, they just gave out a paper fast pass, express pass for any house. And so I got, right, it was actually, I got three of them. So I got three houses on express pass. But I actually got four. I went to the weekend house on express pass and they never took my card off me. So I got an extra one. So I ended up getting 40% of the houses on express pass, which was really helpful because otherwise I think I'd have been there till God knows what time. And I was knackered by the time I got home at about 1:15 a.m. I got back to the hotel, shattered.
Well, that just shows you. So you didn't do, obviously, see, you didn't do express at all. You just
stay in screen. That was it.
Yeah, you stay in screen, and you still. If it wasn't for them four fast passes or express passes, you would not have got the whole event done.
I think. Yeah. I mean, we took a bit of time out to watch the show, the fireworks show, the water show. Took a bit of time to get some food. But yeah, I think I would have had to stay till the very end. Till 2 a.m, I think, to get them done. And it wasn't a particularly busy night. It was a Sunday night, I think we went. So it wasn't the busiest of nights. But very quickly it was going from, 10, 20-minute wait to, because those two houses went down as well, that didn't help. That bumped up the waits elsewhere. And when they reopened, that shot up. But yeah, I think, I mean, when we've been previously, we would go multiple nights. Going, obviously, with Jane's daughter, we didn't do that because we weren't sure where she was going to be able to do it more than once, which proved correct, and it would have been a bit of wasted money. But if me and Jane go by ourselves, we would probably do get whatever they call them, the frequent fee, pass out things, but a rush of fee at the beginning ones, do 2 or 3 nights, and that way you can pick and choose them. Maybe just do express one night, and then the rest of the nights just then.
I said I.
Yeah.
So what would everyone give the event out of 100 then? Joe?
60.
60, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, average then.
Probably a bit more. Just because of Halloween and a couple of houses, maybe late 60, 66, 67, 2/3. Yeah.
Simon?
Yeah, I'm with Joe. It's just creeping into the 60s, so probably 62, 63. It wasn't. I said it before, it was a good event. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
And that's really all I can say about it. Because I have done some more events since, and they've been a lot more enjoyable. I'll say
in the UK.
Listen to the podcast from that one.
Oh, sound. Okay, then. Who's going back next year?
Unless they announce Gremlins, or maybe Lost Boys after we were discussing last night, then no. I've got 2 others booked next year and 8 in September. So, and whilst I guess we could squeeze a weekend in over there, it's not. I don't really fancy just going all the way for the 3 or 4 nights, unless it is something outstanding.
Yeah. What about yourself, Joe?
Yeah, we're not planning on it, but never say never.
Yeah. And Simon?
No, to be honest, I think I'm taking a couple of years out, to be fair.
Oh!
We're looking at possibly nothing next year at all. Maybe the year after, probably going in November.
Right.
Doing some Christmas stuff instead.
I mean, you are the Halloween Horror Nights.
It needs to be dramatically different than what it is at the moment for me to go back. It's cemented that with stuff I've done back in the UK in the last 2 weeks. There's, in my eyes at the moment, this is a spoiler for when we do our reviews on the UK stuff, there's better stuff in the UK at the moment than Halloween Horror Nights.
Wow.
Here's a good question for you, Sam. Because I live near there, is the York one any good? Have you been there? Hallow Scream?
Sorry. Say that one again.
Hallow Scream at York. The York Maze, have you beaten that one?
I've still not done that one yet.
Right.
That was going to be on my plan this year, but with obviously going to Halloween Horror Nights, that took the biggest budget. So next year, I'm looking at doing York Maze, Scream, Extra Scream Park, Tully's Shoptoberfest, Blackpool, maybe Fright Fest. I'm looking at probably doing maybe 10 or 15 next year in the UK. Yeah.
Right.
We're not going to America, so yeah. York Maze is definitely on my thick because actually there's a lovely little glamping place just around the corner
right.
called Acorn Glamping, and I've been there before, and that's a lovely little place to stay.
Place, glory holes for all.
Well, they've got a nice. They used to have an actual. I'm just completely off topic. That's what I do. It's got an old gypsy wagon you can sleep in, and an old wooden lodge, which I stayed in a wooden lodge before, which is Bluebell, and they've got two yurts, and they've got alpacas you can pet as well. So. Completely something random that you wouldn't think.
You can go, Craig, and stay at your daughter's digs at university.
Well, I think the weekend I dropped her off, I had to move the car after like 40 minutes, and I had to go to the little airfield where the...
Oh, yeah, Elvington.
I think we drove past it.
Yeah.
And I've said to her, Eve, does she want to go? And she's like, that, no, because I would consider doing that, yeah, definitely. I mean, we've got Farmageddon, haven't we? Not too far away.
Yeah, that's not changed in the last 4 years for me, so it's not warranting me actually going back yet. When it changes a little bit more, they've changed a couple of houses, but they do they like to repeat houses more. So when it changes a bit more, I might go back.
We went with the family and paid for like the VIP, which was, it was a double-edged sword because you got a sit-down meal, you had a magician walking around and some scare actors and that, and then you had express to the front. I think they have 4 hours there normally, and it was like the event was done in an hour and a half because it was so small. We had our meal. We went out and we walked through 4 houses. I mean, we could have queued up and walked through them again, but what was the point? We'd done them, so we just went home. It was weird. And then last time I went with Stuart, I think that's on a podcast record somewhere. I think we went and reviewed it before we were... It must have been maybe 25, Halloween on night 25. Maybe we were going there, so it's going back a while. But I got fucking hammered. And then... We went in there and we were like 43-year-old men going through these houses with fucking teenagers, and it just didn't feel right. Do you know what I mean? We were the oldest men in the fucking place. It was weird.
Well, that feeling you were on about that's what I felt at Halloween Horror Nights this year.
Yeah.
There was a lot of young, probably not even 20-year-olds, and there was a lot this year. But that's the nature of the beast. We all get old, unfortunately.
How old are you, Simon?
I'm 39.
Oh, I wish I was 39. That'd give me less bollock.
Well, 40 next year. That's a big
one. How old are you, Joe?
I'm 21.
Fucking hell.
I'm 38.
I wish I was 38, fucking hell. Really all right, so Steve's already said, like, Gremlins would get him back for next year. What is the one franchise that would get yous back? That you, or one or two, because maybe one's not enough of a pull. So go ahead, Steve, what would be your second one?
Gremlins, definitely. Possibly Lost Boys. That we discussed some Lost Boys last night on Facebook, and it's a great film. Whether it'd be a good house, I don't know. Other than that, you know, because I'm a newcomer to this, you know, we've been going to Orlando for many years, but never really done Halloween Horror Nights till 28. You know, I've not seen any of the classics that your Freddy Krueger or anything like that. So, some sort of crossover: Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers. Friday the 13th, so that sort of thing, that would be quite tempting because I've never seen that side of it, so that would be a good one to go and see, I think.
Yeah, I think I've done Freddy versus Jason 1 year. I think that was 25. That was a good one.
Yeah.
What about you, Simon?
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Oh, yes.
That is folklore, that film.
Yeah, it's a white whale, I think. I don't think they'll ever get the rights for it because, especially with the way things are at the moment, and it's based on kids being turned into bugs. So, yeah. And if this will be mainly for Julie, to be honest, if the Conjuring, anything to do with the Conjuring, gets put Halloween Horror Nights, that would definitely probably be the weekend. Julie said, "I'll go for the weekend," because so the Conjuring is one of her favourite franchises in horror.
Are they the like paranormal type stuff? I think it must.
It's like the nun.
The nun. Yeah.
Oh yeah, fuck that. Alan. Oh, that's terrifying.
Annabelle.
Yeah.
What else did we do? Not the Conjuring, it was the other one.
Insidious.
Yeah, Insidious. It's the same actor in both, but yeah, we did the Insidious, and Judy loves that Insidious franchise, and then obviously she loves the Conjuring because the Enfield part of it, the Enfield haunting bit, because she's from Sheffield.
I've seen that one.
London. So she knows all that history, and she just loves that kind of side, that side of Conjuring side. So yeah, that'll be definitely what will draw me back. Probably next year, if. I very much doubt it.
We'll play this recording at you.
I won't do the next one because I think Joe might steal the next one. So,
go ahead then, Joe. What would your two be?
No, Simon, you've just stole mine, mate. Anything from The Conjuring. Yeah, no, that's all right, mate. Anything from the Conjuring universe, really. Probably The Nun. I think if they had The Nun, that'd make me think about going.
Would they ever write? I mean, you've just said the Conjuring universe there, so there's obviously several films.
Yeah.
Would they ever do the same? Like, they've done it with American Horror Story, haven't they? And they've done it with Blumhouse, but they're all different films. But would they do it with the same? Have they ever done it with the same franchise, with like three films in one? They did Stranger Things, didn't he, where that had
season two and three,
but three was like a bolt on at the end.
The first one of Blumhouse was Insidious, Sinister and Purge, all done by the Blumhouse.
Yeah, but they're different franchises, so to speak, aren't they?
Yeah. As you see what I mean, do you like Sinister, Insidious and Conjuring all in one?
Yeah, that would be blob on that.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, with the Conjuring universe, it warrants it all being individual, to be fair.
Would they do that? Could they do that?
It depends on the contracts, because the contracts are, I think, Warner, I think. And if you know this is a lead into that one that I was saying about, the only other one that would definitely get me back 1,000% would be anything to do with Pennywise.
Yeah, I was just going to come into it. Yeah, I'd be straight back for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe even the dual house, the original it, the new one, it. Yeah.
Even if it was a mix of both, I think it would work.
Yeah.
Well, Candyman would work as well. The original.
I've never seen Candyman.
the new one was a bit.
Yeah, it wasn't all that, was it?
Yeah.
So, well, it was rumoured for Hollywood. That got pulled again.
What year does Candyman come out? That to me is early 90s. I've been watching a lot of old or 80s, early 90s horror films. I've watched quite a few, and I think me and Nick are going to talk about them on Ego, hopefully coming out the same day as this.
If you want to watch a stupid 80s horror film, watch Brain Dead.
Okay, well there you go. Yeah, I'll look for that.
I was going to say, Craig. Going back, left field.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously ownership has changed over the last couple of years, but why have we never seen anything? Simpsons, Halloween, Treehouse of Horror, anything like that. You know, you've got that whole area there. Why have we never seen anything? You know, done up. Not a scares unnecessary, but you could have a meet and greet with, you know, Bart the Zombie, whatever it could be. There's so many possibilities there of all the tree houses years. Or even a comedy house for The Simpsons, you know, that sort of thing.
All I can think of with that is the actual original contract they had with Fox was very strict. They could only do this, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then it got expanded a little bit with that Cordos Hurl and Twirl, and then actually putting the games inside. Because don't forget, when Simpsons Ride actually opened, them Carnival Ride games weren't there. They were just stands.
Yeah.
And then eventually they put the Carnival games in. So I think that's what, and now obviously being owned by the Mouse and Disney, it's, you've got no chance of anything else.
Yeah. Likewise, Harry Potter, isn't it? Harry Potter's the same, isn't it? You've got a whole area there. And you get Dementors now in Hounds of Adventure, I think, do you? Or is it in Hollywood?
No, it's at Hollywood. Hollywood only. It's not even in the Orlando.
And why? Park. Why not have Dementors or whatever, you know, Dark Wizards walking in? I don't get it. No.
Yeah.
Just get more people, you know, you need more people in there. Spread the crowds out.
Spread people out, yeah, definitely.
Well,
I'm saying that, I usually get a dragon scale and I couldn't even get one because the queue was absolutely horrendous, even at Halloween Horror Nights, to get a drink in my secret bar that, well, it used to be secret. I think everyone knows about it now.
What was going to be your second one then, Joe? Was that Candyman?
Original, though.
Right, okay.
Yeah, used to scare the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Never seen it. It's going on my list. With Simon's one. I mean, mine, right, I'm going to pluck literally from some of the films that I've watched in the last 2 weeks. And these are films that I've never seen, right? That's why I've been doing what I've been doing. The Howling, I think that's werewolves on a little island. It's like a community of werewolves. So I'd like to go and see that, because that was it was a boss. It's before American Werewolf in London comes out. I think it's out in 81. I think American Werewolf was 82, the top of my head, or it might, maybe they both come out the same. I don't know, but and then the other one is Hellraiser.
Yeah, have you watched the new one?
Well, this is what I'm working towards. So in the last 3 days, I've watched Hellraiser, Hellraiser 2, Hellbound, and Hellraiser 3 is on that Legends TV channel tonight, but not tonight, because it's on the night that we're recording it, if you know what I mean. So I'm taping it. So I'm going to watch Hellraiser 3, and then I've been told all the subsequent Hellraisers are a bit shit. I'm going to watch the reboot then, or the prequel, or whatever it is. Because I believe...
Let me know what you think when you've watched it.
Have you seen it, have you?
Yeah, we watched it last week, yeah.
What did you rate it?
It was all right. It wasn't great. Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah. So, that's... Has Hellraiser ever been there, Simon?
Nope.
No. The rights are worse than Freddy Krueger.
They're all over the show.
It's all over. The rights are everywhere. It's like the characters are owned by the actors, and the rights for the films are owned by the studios. It's just an absolute mess. When it comes to, because like I say, We wish all these things, but when you look into the thing like Chris Ripley's alluded to in the past, it's not just one place they've got to go to. They've got to get the rights for everything. And like I said, they've got Halloween. That's why Halloween's probably going to be in the back burner for possibly next year, because they know they can get the rights for Halloween, but it's been part of Blumhouse. But Hellraiser is just one of them. It's been owned by so many different companies and different people. It's just hard to get them all to come together and say, yeah, you can use that. And I think it's one of the one white whales that Mike ILO alludes to quite a lot that he's never going to be able to get hold of.
It's a fucking...
I wish they could. I wish all these people would just come together and say, look. The thing is, the reboot, and even, I believe the reboots, even the rights of that are a bit of a mess as well. But... You never know. Nothing's ever off the table with Halloween Horror Nights. They could always do something out of the blue.
I couldn't believe what I was watching. I'll be honest with you. I literally couldn't believe what I was watching. It's fucking gruesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Could you imagine that in a house with this type of audience that's there now? I couldn't. I can't see it going down very well. We could. We got brought up on it all.
Yeah.
But the generations that's come, unfortunately, if you're listening to this and you're in that generation, I don't want to single you out, but the generation that's coming through at the moment, just a little bit on the soft side, and they don't like that kind of stuff. And it's just the way the world is now.
Well, that's a world that is a bit fucking shit, I'll be honest with you. They need to do an OAP, Halloween Horror Night, for the more mature and discerning character, and we all have cheese and biscuits and glasses of wine in between the gruesome fucking houses.
Cheese and biscuits and a cup of tea at the end of it.
Where there's originals, yeah. There's Heimlich manoeuvres getting done all over the park. People are fucking inhaling them.
Defibrillator every 10 yards.
Yeah. St. John's ambulance all just sitting off. Well, I think we'll... Should we draw this to a close?
You're the boss.
Yeah, this Halloween night. The spookiest of nights. I mean, one last question. Has anyone ever had the willies put up them? Several times. Joe, do you want to push your Twitter or so people can edge you up and give you any opinions or whatever?
Nah.
No, he's right, lad. Steve?
Nah, mate, I'm all right. I'm not going
right.
To be pushing.
Fucking hell, we'll be here for 40 minutes now with Simon. You got anything you want to push, Simon?
No, there's just the one, if you want to push it. It's Epic Haunts.
Get on it, boys.
It's on the podcast at the moment. It's also on YouTube under the banner Epic Multiverse. But things will be changing soon. So stay tuned to the socials.
Excellent. I've been watching yous on the TikToks. Yous are on the TikToks now.
Yeah, we're down with the kids. The kids come knocking, we go TikToking, as they say.
You need to get on the B-Reels, boys, because I'm on the B-Reels.
I let Phil do the TikTok and I do the Instagram. I can't do all that. I can't do the mini video stuff. I'm too old.
No, same.
And Phil's older than me and he can do it.
Is he older than you?
I'm a
I didn't know that. I mean, he's had an hard life, hasn't he?
I look the oldest, but not at the moment because I've had a shave. I need a new job.
You do need a new, keep you warm on them platforms. Mm-hmm. Right, thanks for joining me, guys. It's been fucking a lovely chat. I mean, maybe this might be going forward. Give the lads a week off every so often. We just get a gang together and just have a chat. I think it's a nice little. I know you were a bit nervous, Joe. I think have we been gentle with you?
Oh, mate, yeah, you've gone easy on me. You've taken my podcast.
It's only figurative that Greg popped your podcast, Joey. It does everyone else's.
Exactly. I'm getting a bit long in the tooth now on this podcast malarkey. Time to hand over to a 21-year-old. You can take over my mantle, Joe. Put me out to pasture.
There's no replacing you, mate.
Fucking hell. Don't say that. just dead quick, all our graces, mates, bearing in mind our grace is 13, right? Refer to me as... Not Grace's dad. BCL. How's BCL? What's BCL been doing now? Following me on all the fucking socials and everything. Fucking mental, innit? But anyway. Right, thanks, guys. Been an absolute pleasure. Make sure to press the right button
don't
here.
Don't have nightmares, everyone.
Yeah, don't have nightmares. Don't nightmares.
Crime watch.
Mix ring piece. Yeah. Fuck that. Right, see you later.
Cheers, guys.
This podcast is a That production and part of the After Dark Podcast Network.
There we go.